All right, Snack Attack crew, assemble. Feeling that mid-afternoon slump? Need a protein boost that doesn't involve boring protein bars? Well, let me introduce y'all to my new favorite obsession, Wonderful Pistachios. Y'all, these little green guys aren't just your average nut. They're protein powerhouses, packing a whopping 6 grams per ounce. That's over 10% of your daily value. And here's a confession. I used to be a cracker. You know, the kind of girl who enjoys the satisfying pop of opening each one. But let's be honest, sometimes convenience is king. And that's where their no-shell options comes in perfect for on-the-go snacking. Plus, they come in flavors like chili roasted and sea salt and vinegar, so there's something for everyone, even the picky gals. But here's the kicker. Wonderful Pistachios are a complete protein, meaning they have all 9 essential amino acids your body needs. So next time you're feeling sluggish, ditch the sugary treats and grab a handful of these green gems. I promise y'all they will keep you fueled and feeling your best, whether you're conquering carpool duties or crushing deadlines. And seriously, these are my go-to snack. I keep a bag in my purse. I keep one at the office. I even stash a few on the side of my bed for those late night cravings. This year, I want you to treat yourself to something delicious and good for you. So head over to wonderfulpistachios.com and explore their amazing flavors and sizes. Trust me, your taste buds and your body will thank you. This is Germany.
And this is Brittany.
And this is the Black Girl Bravado Podcast.
A motivating and encouraging podcast where we focus on building community amongst colorful women alike.
Join us weekly as we sit down and have candid conversations on various topics and issues surrounding self-care, self-love, mental health and wellness, spirituality, entrepreneurship, and much more.
And trust, when we don't have the answers, we'll call on our expert homegirls who do.
Our intention is to create a safe space for growth, inspiration, laughter, and love, free of judgment, in hopes that after you listen, you're a little more knowledgeable or at least a little more entertained than before.
It's homegirl vibes here. Real, raw, and a little funny.
A lot of fucking funny.
So thanks for tuning in to the Black Girl Bravado Podcast.
Let's start the show, cuties.
Hey, y'all. Welcome back.
Welcome back, baby girls, little queens and queenettes.
New week, new tea.
Where we kiki with you and you kiki with we.
Yes.
What's good? How's your weekend? I mean, your week. Shit.
My week has been good. It's been busy as fuck per the usual. I'm going to just stop saying that because work
is work. It's not giving up. It's not letting up.
Work is work.
How was your weekend?
My weekend was, I feel like it was eventful. Oh, it was. It was. So, let me recall it. I know we went to, it doesn't have to be in chronological order. We went to the WizKid concert.
We did. We went.
So that was good. Wiz.
Yeah, like, you know. I'm like, girl,
Wiz, how tall is he?
He's giving small. He's giving 5'5".
Them chains
with brown eyes.
Them chains was, he was icy.
Yeah. But, oh, I know what happened last week. Okay, it was Alicia's birthday.
Oh, okay. So Alicia, it was a surprise little birthday for my friend Alicia, for our friend. Mm-hmm. Then we went to
another birthday
that evening.
Yeah, Libra season, gang.
Libras, there's a lot of Libras. Period. Libra energy.
We pop out.
New moon in Libra.
Hop out at your party.
I'm with the gang. And period. It's gonna be a
robbery. And then we went to see WizKid on Sunday.
Then we went to see WizKid on Sunday. We had a little nice adult dinner. That was so adult of us.
Was it
to go have dinner and then
and then go to the concert.
To go have a nice little dinner and then go to the concert.
Mm-hmm. It was.
Yeah, we went to go see WizKid. Nice to see him live.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I had the same weekend. I was at work. I'm like, okay.
But you still made time for fun.
Always, baby. That'll never be off my agenda.
Yeah.
I just need to get through the rest of the week and then my vacation starts.
Lucky gal.
And I'm so
So why, do you want to share what your plans are?
Yeah, so I'm going to Miami for my birthday, a little vacation or whatever.
Okay, cute.
And that's it. We're going to eat, drink. We'll be seeing WizKid again. Child, by the, after October, I done seen Wiz adult.
You've been on a tour with him.
He's Wiz adult. He's no longer WizKid.
You done Wizzed.
Girl, I'm like, the Wiz adult? Seeing him 3 times in 30 days.
You gonna know the whole set. It's the same set, huh?
It's the same set. Everything. Yeah. Which I don't know. Right,
we can't flip and tumble it. Well, right. This is what I practice. This is what I'm doing.
It ain't changing.
This is what I'm doing.
So, yeah, that'll be exciting. I've never been to Miami. So, shit. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm hoping my period don't come.
Oh, no.
Honestly, I feel like it's brewing already. So, I hope the shit
when
just comes now.
When is it supposed to come?
Well, you already know. I'm in a situation.
Yeah.
So, Lord, be with me.
Mine has came and went.
Okay, yours is out here. I'm hoping mine holds off. Just come after.
I hope it comes after so you can do it.
Fuck.
Yeah.
I know.
That takes away from the vacation experience
and being
out of town and yeah. in a place. It's just like the cherry on top of the fun.
I know. So.
And I hate when it happens.
And I need to take some of my lingerie.
Oh. Is that how we coming?
I mean, this is how I need to go.
The spicy mommy.
Yeah. Although, nigga, where's your lingerie for me? It's my
birthday. The Savage X.
Put on your robe.
Imagine him showing up in some Savage X.
I'd be like, what are you doing?
Savage X.
But I have so many things that I have not worn yet, and I'm like, the time is now.
Yeah.
She's turning 33. She'll be out. Sexy, hot. I need to get a wax. And that just kills me to get a wax to only have my period come 1 week later. What a waste. What a waste of a bald cooch.
I know.
Probably giving y'all too much, but.
I don't think so. I mean, we've all been here. We've all been wanting that period to delay.
Period.
We've all wanted to look cute and we all wanted to have fun on a vacation. Freaky fun.
Yeah. Hey.
Period.
We're all been here.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm excited. I'm also excited for this weekend because not only will it be on vacation, but we will be celebrating our other Libra homegirl.
Oh, yeah.
Going to dinner with Ty.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of fun on the horizon.
Yeah.
I love October. I got pumpkin rolls from Trader's.
Did you make them?
Not yet.
Oh.
Not yet. Because I bought a vegan lemon cake.
From Trader's?
Whole Foods.
Oh, you went in there acting crazy.
I know. I said, once I'm spending $7 on a little loaf, I said,
how much did you spend in totality? 80?
40. It was cute. It was quick.
Oh, I went in there acting up.
I know how to keep myself in check. I said, Lord, get me out of here whole. Get me out of here
whole. Get me out of Whole Foods whole.
I don't want to be broken in pieces, child. My pocketbook. I said,
They call it whole check.
And that's what it'll give. But I went in there and only spent a couple dollars. So I felt good about it.
Cool.
So, yeah, here we are.
Here we are here with you all. So.
Now you looking shook. I'm disappointed in you girls.
Oh, I'm like, what happened?
No, I'm going to tell you what happened. I'm disappointed in y'all.
Yeah.
The lack of ratings and reviews just lets me know y'all really don't give a fuck.
Yeah, yeah.
Y'all act like y'all do, but y'all don't.
Right.
And if you did, then you would show up.
Okay, so what do we have to do?
No, what do you need to do?
I'm saying, what do we need to do to get them to show up?
It ain't about us. It ain't. I'm removing myself.
Okay, okay.
We show up every week and give y'all the content
you deserve. This don't have nothing to do with our worth. This don't have nothing.
It don't. I'm taking my worth out of it, okay?
This don't have nothing to do with our worth.
It's y'all. Now act like you got some sense and show up for your sisters this week.
Don't you ever get too comfortable.
Don't get. I'm like, what we seeing? Comfortable.
That Lil Wayne song.
Yeah, I know it.
Yeah.
Y'all have gotten too comfortable. You've gotten too comfortable consuming the content and not giving back.
And you know what? It's really crazy because I know we
I
have
find
a lot
it funny
of,
that.
Nah, it's kind of funny how I know we have a lot of Android listeners because they come. The Android listeners have shown to be proven
coming
to be
waves.
Dedicated
they
because
are.
They come over to Instagram and say, I try to get my flowers and I can't. But let me tell you something. 93% of the listeners are Apple.
So what's good?
Per the stats.
We don't want to see
and
no
so,
bullshit.
If 93% of y'all are listening on iPhones, just take 2 seconds, hit pause, rate, leave a review if it's on your heart.
It should be there.
And then we can just stop this. We're not going to stop this, but we can have a different messaging behind
period.
It. We can have
the
a different message.
Will be
yeah,
different.
The energy. We can shift the energy. So, yeah, we are nearing the end of the year, and mm-hmm. we need y'all to show up, and we need you to show out.
That's it.
I don't know what else to say. But I do have a review.
Mm-hmm. One, okay? One will
I
be read.
I do have a review to read this week. Thankfully, somebody came through, or else I wouldn't have even had that. This one comes from SC Guck.
Okay, sounds about right.
And she, I believe, I'm going to just say she, says it could be a he.
They
say, love this. I just started listening to this podcast. As I am growing and moving along in this world, it's so nice to have a podcast I can relate to. I absolutely love this. Thank you both for making this podcast so relatable and so amazing.
Thank you.
So amazing.
But I will say, some homegirls have been leaving some nice words over on Patreon.
Yeah.
That has been received. Love y'all. If you don't know about Patreon, where have you been? You sleeping under a rock.
Right.
I told y'all last week, Brittany did some really hot tea about her previous relationship. And if you haven't listened, please go ahead and listen. It's really interesting. It's a doozy.
It's relatable content.
It's relatable content. So if you enjoy this show, you enjoy the vulnerability, the honesty, the transparency, then you get more of that on that end of the internet. You got to trek on over to Patreon for more tea.
We also did our audio affirmations, mm-hmm. which were centered around love, which was perfect because Libra is the sign of love. I'm hearing. I know firsthand. Y'all love love. Mm-hmm. It was a little thing on TikTok that was like, Libras cannot function without a relationship. Oh, that's what they said.
It sounded about right.
But anyway.
I love that for us.
Because Libras are the lovers, we have some love affirmations for y'all. Mm-hmm. And we do them audio style over on Patreon.
Yeah.
So let's shout out our patrons. This week we have Courtney.
Hey, Courtney girl.
Jasmine.
Hey, Jasmine.
Markeithia.
Okay, come on, Markeithia.
Tori.
Hey, Tori. Welcome to the gang.
And Kayla.
Hey, Kayla. It's good to hear from y'all and see y'all and get your coins.
Yes.
This month.
Yes.
Y'all keeping the lights on in this motherfucking studio. Thank you.
Yes.
It's a pleasure.
So the Patreon information is down in the show notes. And mm-hmm. also, a lot of you mommies are just now discovering this, but we are on YouTube. So if you want to put a face to the voices.
Yes.
We are on YouTube.
I never forget when somebody finally seen us either on live. We used to get on Instagram Live a lot. Or they seen a video and they were like, oh, I thought the voices were backwards. Yeah. I'm like, cha.
So
I could not imagine you with this baritone.
So if you follow us, so if you go on over to YouTube, which is down in the show notes, you can put faces to the voices.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So. Love that. So last week's episode, we kicked off our dating series, which is about draft season, which is about dating, empowering our dating experience, changing the narrative, and just getting down to the nit grit about what we're doing out here when we're trying to find a potential nigga or a potential
man or
female,
woman,
whoever, a potential
whatever
person
you're looking for.
Yes, a person. So we kicked it off. Episode one was Bad and Boozy Dating Stories. This was a really good, lighthearted, fun time. We talked about our best dates, our worst dates, our green flags, our red flags, and just gave all the tea on our dating experience thus far.
We did.
If you haven't listened yet, please go back. I was cracking up. Now, usually I don't be listening back to the episode.
To
I did. Mm-hmm. I said, let me hear what we were saying.
Did you get your laughs?
I did. I held my belly a few times. I said,
Once Kayla was going through the episode play by play, I'm like, she's entertained.
Yeah. Yeah. Anytime Kayla sends clips via text, I'm like, okay, let me go see what the fuck was said.
The thing is, I really be forgetting what I say.
Same.
As soon as I say it.
It's like a robot. It's like.
Because somebody would be like, when you said, when you got me cracking up, I'm like, what did I say?
Girl.
What the hell did I say?
Yeah. It just comes. It's because it's a conversation. You don't remember every little thing you said.
You don't.
But I'm glad y'all love it. Thank you for being here.
Yes.
Today.
So today we are continuing our draft season series.
Mm-hmm.
And we are talking about manifesting love. So a lot of us on our dating journeys are looking for love, right? That's the ultimate goal.
Looking for love in all the wrong places. Been around, seen a lot of pretty faces. And I know that you're the one for me.
Hey.
Come on. And it is the part.
Everything. Cause
you got a brother feeling, and baby, you know what I mean. And yeah, that nobody knows that little section or whatever he said.
Feeling, I'm like, meaning, needing,
waiting on the background, baby. Although I'm not about to listen to no Jaheim because he
animal cruelty.
Ooh, I said delete it all off my phone. You will not get another streaming dime from my phone.
He was wrong for that. You know, I saw an episode of a show. I think it was Fear Thy Neighbor. It was some little, like, sick little true crime show that I was watching. And, girl, they were hoarding dogs. It was crazy.
Jaheim, you just need to be slapped.
Yeah.
You need to be slapped. But anyway.
Today. So,
manifesting love.
Manifesting love. We done got sidetracked.
All right.
And a lot of our dating experiences, the ultimate goal is to manifest love, right? That's why we're dating, to find our person or attract our person, whatever. And we have a lovely guest.
No pun intended.
Right. We have a lovely guest who we thought would be perfect to speak to this because she definitely manifested love in her life. But we're not talking about woo-woo manifestation. We're talking about really doing the work and the healing to attract what it is that you desire. And this conversation was so expansive.
It really was. Thank y'all for all to all the homegirls who was underneath Aaliyah's post letting her know that she needed to connect with us.
Yeah.
I love when y'all do that. Same. If there's other people you guys want us to talk with, go get in there.
Keep doing that.
But this conversation itself was amazing, very expansive, like you said. I know that y'all are going to find great value out of it the same way we did. So many gems are dropped, so let's get into it.
Today, we have a special guest with us, Aaliyah Lovely of the Spiritual Shit Podcast.
Yes.
We are in the middle of our dating series, and in this series, we are talking all about having empowered dating experiences. So when we found Aaliyah and listened to her podcast, we discovered that she actually manifested a beautiful, loving relationship, and we're all about that. That's what we want for ourselves and for the homegirl. So Aaliyah is a host of the Spiritual Shit Podcast. She has a book on Amazon called Me, Myself, and Why Finding Your Other Half is Impossible Before Finding Yourself. So she'll talk more about that. Aaliyah, welcome to the show.
Yes, welcome.
Hey. Nice to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yay.
We're so happy to have you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Yeah.
So we gave a general, like, brief understanding or overview of who you are, but tell our homegirls, our listeners out there, about yourself, your journey, and how you got here.
Awesome. As they said, I have a podcast called Spiritual Shit, and the origination from that is because I'm an intuitive, a medium, and a manifester.
Yes.
What is it called? Just a person that's really good at manifesting or learned how to manifest really well. So from a very young age, I was indoctrinated in the church. Not necessarily anything wrong with that, but there was a lot of limiting beliefs around what we could generate in our lives. And a lot of things that just didn't resonate with me as a kid as far as our freedom and what it is that we could call into our life. And then also being a person of color. Being in schools with predominantly white people and things like that. And there were just things that I saw that people had access to that I didn't. Mm. And so growing up in with a lot of those limitations, you know, like I'm a firstborn child. And so you want to acquiesce to what people ask of you and be the prize student and all those good things. But at some point I got to a place where spiritually, mentally, physically, it just didn't resonate with me anymore. And so I participated in a lot of destructive behavior that ultimately helped me get to where I am now. I was in a very toxic marriage, a toxic relationship that I entertained for well too long.
Mm-hmm.
Been there.
To understand and learn. Mm-hmm, haven't we all?
No, it's like.
Learn more about my worth and learn more about my gifts and learn more about my purpose and what it is that I'm here to do. And it was a very liberating experience getting from underneath that particular relationship that taught me a lot about myself and about my worthiness and a lot about what it is that I did deserve and what it is that I wanted to call into my life. And so I went through a series of ridiculous dating, lots of stories we could share with you if we had enough time, and on a journey to figure out who I was and what it is I wanted to call into my life and essentially also my higher purpose and what that would look like to be able to call in a person and a partner that could be an equal and capable partner to what kind of life I'm drawing in and manifesting for myself. And that would take no ordinary person.
Mm.
So I needed to learn how to stop settling for what I didn't want and stop snacking and wait for the main course.
Mm.
And and it got me to a place where I've been able to not just generate a really amazing relationship and an incredible partner, but come to a place where I understood and knew the worth of what it is I was here to do on this earth and the space that I'm allowed to take up and to have access to things that, you know, I didn't know I could have in my wildest dreams.
Mm.
And really blew open a door through a lot of healing. From, you know, what our ancestors have been told, what we've gone through, what our bloodline carries, and found ways to transcend that.
Wow.
Girl.
Wow. You really hit a soft spot when you said that you were in the toxic relationship for way too long, because that is unfortunately the story of a lot of us, a lot of us. But the liberation, once you gain self-awareness and you grow, is beautiful. And you mentioned that you needed to do some work in order to stop snacking and find this, or allow this an ordinary person to find you. So what does that look like? What did that work look like? What was the process?
What's the framework? We actually want the framework.
Okay. Well, first I'll start with a story to get to the process of the framework. So I had gone through, like I said, this toxic relationship. And when I released and liberated myself from that, I went through a series of dating that you'll see in the book that you mentioned, where I had a goal of going on 100 dates. And the whole point of going on 100 dates, I don't know why I put that number out there, but I was like, I'm going to go on 100 dates because I never really dated before. I've never really had, like, I married basically the first person that was really interested in me. And I had this idea that I wasn't really deserving of that. So I thought, if I date this many people, I'll have a very well-rounded perspective of what it would look like, about what it is that I want. And I didn't know that in that essentially goal, I was creating a manifestation of continuing to date people that would treat me like shit, because it was a means of me being able to continue the process, right? So my intention was that I was going to go out and do all this stuff, and I would continue to meet terrible people that would then continue my process of dating, because if I found anybody I really liked, it would stop that in its tracks. So I thought I owed it to the world, to this book, essentially, that I would continue this process. And I went to Tulum to do some spiritual healing or whatever people do when they're down there. And this person I was talking to was saying, you know, don't you think that that's kind of counter what it is that you actually want? Don't you really want a relationship? Mm-hmm. Don't you really want someone in your life? Don't you really want this? And I'm like, yeah, but I was holding this subconscious belief that no one really wanted me. Mm-hmm. And so this was my way of being able to have my subconscious belief that I was unlovable, and still get out there and be the feminist that I was, and be sexually empowered, and go out there and do the damn thing like I thought I was doing, and didn't realize how much harm it was doing to my spirit, to my soul, and under the guise that I was like, oh, I'm just doing the thing, you know?
Mm-hmm, right.
After that chewed me up and spit me out, quite literally, because I wasn't doing it from a healthy perspective. I'm not saying if someone is doing a lot of dating that that's going to be bad for them, but for me, it wasn't a good state of mind that I was in to be doing that.
Yeah.
I got to this place where I was like, I need to understand why it's been so difficult for me to call in a relationship. Why is it that I continue to call in people that treat me as such, that treat me like I am disposable, that treat me like I am the last option, that, like, and I'm like, I'm cute, right? Like,
you are.
Like, you know, like, and I couldn't conceive, like, why this was so hard. And so I went through a break where I just decided, okay, you know what? I need to take some time. I need to figure myself out. And so, like I mentioned before, I'm an intuitive. I'm actually a medium. And I have a lot of, like, spiritual gifts. My dad has them. My grandmother has them, or whatever. And so, and we're talking about a lot of them on the show. I asked God, spirit, universe, whatever you want to call it, can you make this easy for me? Because I can't seem to figure it out.
Mm. Right, help me.
I'm doing everything that I can do to try to figure out what it is so I can find love. And I feel like it's something that continues to evade me. My friends have gotten married. My friends have had children. My friends have these really wonderful partnerships. Why is that not for me? I was able to succeed in my business world and finances and other things or whatever, but I couldn't get this connection. So when I went to Bali and did some spiritual healing, I looked at some of the things in my life that were out of sorts. And I was in asana on a yoga mat, and I was meditating. And this vision came to me. And the vision itself was this moment from when I was 9 years old, where I wanted to be a gymnast so bad. Like, I wanted to be in gymnastics.
Same. And my mom ruined it for me.
Damn, you know, like Shannon Miller, Dominique Modigliano. I don't know how old you are.
It's Dominique Dawes.
Dominique Dawes.
Dominique Dawes, queen. It was Dominique Dawes for me.
Yes. And so I'm sitting there and I'm thinking about, you know, this particular moment that just came to me about when my parents couldn't afford for me to continue gymnastics. Mm. Mind you, it was $25 per season at the YMCA. This was no serious gymnastics. This was an Olympic.
Little sum.
Okay. Just a little flips and somersaults here and there. And so I remember that every time it came up for season, like to pay for the season, this $25, that I would go to my parents and say, okay, do you have the money for class or whatever? And I could feel empathically that this would hurt them so much when I would ask for this money because they didn't have it. Like we were just dirt poor when I was growing up.
Yeah.
So I remember that feeling every time going to them and having to ask them for that. And I associated that with when I ask people for things, it hurts them. When I ask people for things, it's a burden. And when I ask people for things, it's not good. So I learned not to ask for things. And then to make it matters worse, my dad did a parenting fail where I got a C in a class or something like that or whatever. And he was like, oh, well, your studies are failing. So we're going to, you know, you have to quit gymnastics. And I instantly knew that's not why.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You can't afford it. And you're making it my fault that I can't have that. So let me make sure that I don't have to ask anybody for anything because then no one can take something away from me either. So I will be self-sufficient. I will be so good at everything. I will earn by myself. I will conquer by myself. I will get these things by myself with no help of anyone else to make sure that no one can take it away from me and no one will be harmed in the process.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sitting there on this yoga mat and all of this is rushing to me. And I instantly understand the importance. And I feel like I have something that I call spirit guides. I have these people that talk to me in my ear.
Mm-hmm.
This is why you're having trouble attracting a partner, because there is no space for anyone to contribute anything in your life.
Mm-hmm.
You take care of everything.
Wow.
So how is there any space for anyone to come in to offer anything to you? Like this is what makes you invisible.
Mm. Wow.
So I called myself.
Have you ever dreamed of effortlessly conversing in another language? Whether it's for that upcoming international trip, connecting with family and friends, diving deep into a new culture, or simply adding a new skill to your repertoire, learning a new language opens up a world of opportunities. But let's face it, traditional methods like textbooks and classroom learning can be a drag. That's where Rosetta Stone comes in. As the most trusted language learning program for over 30 years, Rosetta Stone offers a revolutionary approach that truly immerses you in the language you want to learn without relying on CDs or DVDs. Picture this, you're effortlessly conversing in Spanish on the streets of Barcelona, ordering tapas like a local, or discussing the latest French designers with Parisians. So sexy, right? With Rosetta Stone's intuitive process, you'll learn naturally, starting with words, then phrases, then full sentences. And with over 25 languages offered, including Spanish, French, Italian, German, Korean, Chinese, Japanese, Dutch, Arabic, and Polish, the possibilities are endless. Rosetta Stone's speech recognition technology, including the True Accent feature, acts like a personal trainer for your accent, providing instant feedback on your pronunciation. Plus, with both desktop and app options available, along with offline lesson downloads and an audio companion, learning for the babe on the go has never been easier. And here's the best part. For a limited time, Rosetta Stone is offering a lifetime membership for 50% off, y'all. That's right, lifetime access to all 25 language courses for half the price. Don't miss out on this amazing deal. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, BGB listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today. Hey, Bookies, we got something special for you. Are you ready to dive into a celebration of Blackness that's as diverse as the experience it represents? Well, NPR's got you covered with Black Stories, Black Truths. This is a groundbreaking collection that's more than just a podcast. It's revelation.
What does Black representation in media mean to you? Because to me, it's about breaking down stereotypes, challenging biases, and also showcasing the rich tapestry of Black experiences.
For sure, absolutely. And Black Stories, Black Truths is the epitome of this celebration. Each episode is a living account of what it truly means to be Black today, and it's told from a unique Black perspective.
And I feel like these aren't just stories, like they're narratives of joy, resilience, empowerment, and also the incredible ability to create world-shifting things out of the struggle.
Seriously, you'll hear about everything from pop culture icons like Bobby Shmurda to The Wire, Michelle Obama, to discussions on vital topics like reparations, y'all. There's really no limit to the range of Black stories, Black truths.
Have you tuned in yet? One of my favorite episodes is the one on how real self-care takes real systemic change. That's a must listen.
Yeah, I really think the hosts bring a tone that's celebratory. It's also informative and reflective, which I really can appreciate. Every episode is a journey. It offers a range of emotions and perspectives that keeps you hooked from start to finish. As soon as I turn it on, I'm like,
And let's not forget, Black perspectives haven't always been at the forefront of America's story, but now they are the story.
Period. So this is not just a podcast, y'all. It's a collection of some of NPR's best episodes showcasing the brilliance and resilience of the Black experience.
And we know NPR is known for its commitment to diverse storytelling, but with them presenting Black stories, Black truths, I would say that this is NPR with the noir twist.
So what are you waiting for? Turn on NPR today and immerse yourself in a range of voices as varied, nuanced, and Black as the incredible country we reflect.
And remember, stories should never be about us without us. Listen now to Black Stories, Black Truths from NPR, available wherever you get your podcast. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Have you ever wished for an extra hour in your day? What would you do with it? Maybe it's finding time for a run, a nap, or simply being there for a friend. But often, life feels like a race against the clock. What if you could carve out time for what truly matters to you? Therapy can be that guide, helping you prioritize what's important and make time for it. Whether it's setting boundaries, learning coping skills, or simply becoming the best version of yourself, therapy empowers you to take control of your life. When I've been called to therapy, it's been during times when I felt like I've needed to really center myself and regain control of my thoughts, feelings, and actions. And let me tell you, it has definitely helped. If you're considering therapy, consider BetterHelp. It's convenient, flexible, and entirely online. With just a brief questionnaire, you can be matched with a licensed therapist who fits your needs. Plus, you can switch therapists anytime at no extra cost. Take the first step towards a more fulfilling life with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/bravado today and get 10% off your first month. 10%, y'all. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/bravado.
Very often invisible. Why can't they see me? It's because I'm fat. It's because I'm Black. It's because I'm this. It's because I'm that. And it was always something, and I didn't realize that this was actually the thing. But energetically, I was putting a signal out that says, there's no space for you here. Mm. There's no room at the inn. Like, so there's no way for them to be attracted. I was always every guy's best friend. Mm. I was always the guy, you know, oh man, you're such a catch. You're so this, you're so that. I'm like, do you want me?
No. Right. Yeah. Catch me. I'm single.
I'm falling. Catch me. God.
You know? So upon that recognition, I asked for healing there. Mm. In that moment, I'm sitting there on the mat and I said, please heal this thing. I want someone to be there. I want someone to come into my life. I want someone to be able to, I understand that this is where I learned this. How can I integrate this belief and heal this wound? And it was almost instantly, when I tell you this, instantly, that I then started to see how men were behaving around me very differently. Mm-hmm. And suddenly I was very noticeable, very visible, in fact, very vulnerable. So I had this another healing done by this Reiki healer, a girl named Holly Lauren Sloof. And she, after I had this healing, I had a dream. And in the dream, it was a, and this is important to the story, I promise. I'm not just taking you on a ride.
We love it all. We're loving the ride. We love it all. It's a beautiful ride.
Hands are up. We're strapped in. Yes. Let's go.
So I have this dream. And in this dream, I am sitting on a monument of sorts with my sister. We're eating pizza. And there's these 8 Black men that are marching, protesting in the street. Mind you, this was February 22nd of 2020. Mm-hmm. So this is before all the COVID stuff happened and everything. So there's eight men marching down or whatever, and they pivot and turn towards us and start marching up the stairs. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, you know, what are they doing? You know, whatever. And so the guy who's in front comes to me and says, hey, are you single? And I'm like, what do you want? Why are you bothering me? You know, whatever. And he says, come inside. I would like to have this dance with you. Something like that. Very Bridgerton style, right? Yeah. We're in Jordans and hoodies and like, the whole bit. And we go inside this really beautiful saloon room that's like very French looking or something. And we do this very Bridgerton-esque type dance mm-hmm. with each other. And I remember, and this sounds stupid, but I remember his hands. Hmm. Like very, like you know how that those dances are very like
yeah, like,
you know,
it's giving waltzy. It's giving
yeah, very erotic, but it's not
yeah.
Anyway, so we're doing this dance, and then he invites me into this back room, and he's like, "Join me in the back room." So we go in this back room, and the back room is red, and I'm like, "I know what happens here."
Freaky.
And mm-hmm. I have this wound of feeling like men only want me for sex. Mm-hmm.
A lot is being revealed in the dream.
Mm-hmm. I, like throughout my dating experience and everything, it was like I was so disposable. Like it was like, oh, here, like we can, you know, can we cross on the show?
Of Girl, course, come on. Let it out.
Okay. We can fuck her and then get rid of her. You know, this whole kind of thing or whatever. And so, I always felt so disposable. So when we go in this back room, I'm already like, you know, I know where this is going. And he says, "Do you want to have sex?" And I was like, "See, I knew it. I knew you were this kind of guy." Blah blah blah. He says, hold on." I said, "Do you want to have sex, or do you want your equal and capable partner?"
Ooh. Mm.
Turn around.
Now it's on you. Balls in your court. Okay.
And so I said, "I want my equal and capable partner." And he says, "Then please wait for me." And I wake up. Okay.
I've never had a dream like
this. Woke up and called her and said, "He's on his way. Don't fret. My man is on his way."
That is exactly Patience. What I did. That is exactly what I did. I called up Holly, the girl who gave me the reading. I said, "Hey, I had this dream. This is kind of what he looks like." And I put together a couple, like compilation of a couple people. And I said, "This is the person. Like, I know he's coming." She's like, "Great. Write it down, whatever." So I made sure that there was receipts. Cause he understood the assignment.
Period.
Months go by and all the George Floyd stuff happens. Mm-hmm. Protests in the street, everything's going on. I have no idea. I'm not even thinking about this dream. And I get on Bumble. Because I know the kind of work that I do with energy work and energy healing and that kind of stuff. And I know our community and mm-hmm. they don't get therapy.
Right. Yeah.
And I thought, I'm going to get on here, not to date. I'm going to talk to black men and see how they're doing. So I got on Bumble and I matched with David. Mm-hmm. And in his profile, it said something casual. And I was like, oh, you know, thinking like, oh, I'll just swipe past him or whatever.
Yeah, but that can be a deterrent. I found
out later that meant like coffee to him.
Aww.
Anyway, so I met up with him and it was so visceral. It was the weirdest feeling of like seeing this person in the dream or a likeness of this person and then recognizing them even down to the hands. Like he shook my hand and I was like, oh, like I got chills now thinking about it. Oh. Like the whole thing, just felt the whole thing rush through my body and go, oh my God, this is the guy. This is him. This is the one who told me to wait for him. So I didn't want to creep him out with the crazy of the right, first date, you know, right, I don't want to tell him that. But
inside. Yeah,
inside, I knew I was his wife.
I was like, this is it. So we talk for 4 hours, then we talk for 4 more hours, and then we go on a date the next day, and it's as if we have been together our, like, lifetimes. And then the third day, he asks me to be his girlfriend. The 10th day, he tells me he loves me. The, you know, 60th day, we get pregnant with my child. A beautiful, beautiful child.
Yes.
There's a story with that too, but we'll get to that. Anyway, all that to say, this manifestation that was taking place, like this person, like I had these signs early about who this person was and what it looked like, but I had to get to this place where I was willing to open up and make space for who this person was and mm-hmm. when it was. And then also understanding that timing was a big part of it. I think a lot of times we get really caught up in timing and we think, okay, yeah, it's got to happen by this time.
Yes.
I can't have kids by this time mm-hmm. or this is going to happen or whatever. And assume that then it means it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
But like, had it not happened in this particular time period, he wouldn't have been available before then. See? He had just gotten out of a very long marriage. See? So like this, the timing of it was so like, I mean, within months, you know, I have two beautiful stepchildren now, like, you know, just the whole thing. So like, if I didn't orchestrate these number of events. Maybe it would have happened a little bit later, but I kept having in my head that it wasn't going to happen at all because it wasn't happening right now.
Yeah.
Yes. And so when I got to a space of, once I did all that healing and I knew, and I had it something in my heart that said, he's on his way. Mm-hmm. Like, just wait.
Yeah.
Stop having your expectations about what you think it's going to be and when you think it's going to be and all your fears about what it's not going to be. And just accept what's right now. Be present with what's right now. And as soon as I let that go, it happened so fast. Girl, I was in my apartment, had a brand new apartment, right? And I was like, you know what? Single in the city, COVID style, quarantined by myself. I was like, I'm just going to spend all my money at Home Goods and I'm going to make this place look really sweet. Like, I had this really tiny, cute apartment, penthouse apartment in Kansas City, which is super cheap. And I was so excited. Like, okay, this is my single quarantine time. I'm just going to focus on me. I'm not going to be bothered with nobody. 2 months later.
Pregnant.
Booed up.
Pregnant.
Booed up.
Not you... pregnant yet.
Oh, okay. Booed up. Okay.
And I was like, well, now we have to find a place to live.
Period. Yeah. So, you know what? You mentioned so many things there, Leah. There are a multitude of things. You know, your vulnerability.
That's the short version.
Girl. You could have went for the long. It didn't even matter here.
I was strapped up on the ride. Like, yes, I love this ride.
I know. I personally love when you discussed releasing that like myth of time, because as women, young adult women, we're not that young. We're
adult
in our
30s.
Adult women, right? creeping up, the further and further you creep up into the 30s, nearing the 40s, it's like, okay, what the hell is going on? Because we lay out a timeline for ourselves, and when it's not happening, it becomes so stressful, you know.
Yes. Yeah.
But I realize, and the more I speak with other women who are finding their people and on the way to find their person, we really have to release, because we are not in control. We really are not in control of when these motherfuckers are gonna show up.
Yeah.
not to the degree of like we can manifest them and bring them in, but we have to release the idea of time, because really time is not even a thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's not even a thing. My
and
God.
I've been a victim of the feeling like running out of time, and it really puts you in a scarcity mindset, and it causes you to settle. Like, it makes you feel like you have to take whatever's being presented. It makes you feel like you can't leave situations that you know aren't the best for you.
Mm-hmm.
It makes you feel like, you said, it'll never happen. And it causes this like burden. It's like a weight is on you, and you're looking at everybody like, are you the one? Or you're trying to make every situation the one. And it's like, now, queen.
Well, think about it like this. You're 100% right. Like, think about it like when you go on a date, right? You know how it feels when there is a guy there, woman there, whoever, who just wants you for sex. You know that energy, right? And you're like, this is it. You know? Right.
Period.
Yeah.
Period.
Like, feeling like, ugh, I don't like that energy. It's very similar when we are looking at someone to be our all. And when we show up to a date with those expectations, and we're like, okay, are you the one? Are you going to be the one that gives me a baby? Are you going to be the one that does this? Are you going to make me happy? Are you going to make me secure? Are you going to pay my bills? That energy is very similar. And like, the other side can suss it out like it's nothing. Like,
you really flipped it on its head there.
Because we love to put it all on the men when we be showing up with our shit too. Like, oh my God, please.
He's the one.
And you know, it's like a feeling also of like, choose me. Like, you want to be chosen. And that's what we find our value in. And like, being chosen. He put a ring on me. I have a ring. I have been chosen.
Yeah.
And it's just
validation.
It's an energy that's very unhealthy, and it causes us so much turmoil. And I hate that for us.
I hate that for us.
And so I like what you said about the work that you were doing for yourself, because it's like everything comes automatically once you really focus in on yourself, and it's not like shutting yourself off, whereas I'm an independent woman who don't need no man.
Mm-hmm.
But
right. Well, you're 100% right with that. Go ahead. I want to say something about that.
Yeah.
You say.
Go ahead.
So very much in our protection of ourselves, when we don't make ourselves open, we don't make ourselves vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a protection mechanism when we're like, I don't need no man. I don't need this. It's that energy of like, again, I'm not going to make space for you. It's to protect ourselves from the possible disappointment that's coming. It's our own belief that we think that we're not worthy of this thing. So if I can just beat them to the punch, I don't need nobody, then I can protect myself from the possibility of actually failing an expectation or desire that I want to create.
Period.
And so because of that, if, for instance, so what happened on me and David's date, and I will never forget this, he was from the beginning, you know, anybody who's been on a date, he said, we got into like a really deep discussion, and he was like, well, I just got out of a long relationship, and I'm not like really looking for anything serious right now. Mm-hmm. And I was like, let me stop you right there.
You're right.
And this is what I said. This is probably not verbatim, but it's pretty close. I said, let me stop you right here. I'm here for this conversation. I'm here to hang out. If this is the only time I ever see you, wonderful. If we get married and have many children, great. I don't care. Like, because what's meant for me won't miss me. So you don't need to.
It'll never pass. It'll never pass.
It was like a switch. It shifted. Like, mm-hmm. He wasn't reserved anymore. He was very open. There was all this openness. And I was just like kind of carefree. And when it came down to it, like 3 days later, he's like, let me lock it down. Because she's not trying to pressure me. She's not trying to put me. He said that there was it's really sweet. He said there was I'm going to mess it up. There's an unlikely amount of characteristics that you had all together. It would be so unlikely for me to find someone who had all of those things. So I didn't need to keep looking. And like that sense of giving him time and giving him a place to be able to make that decision with no pressure made it easier.
Well, you know, you know.
Y'all should know by now that we love progression over here. Let's chat about what everyday progress truly means to us. Whether it's hitting those small milestones or treating ourselves to a little something-something after a month of disciplined budgeting, progress is all about balance and staying motivated. And speaking of budgeting and reaching financial goals while still enjoying life's little pleasures, have you heard about Chime? Chime's checking account offers some amazing features that can help you along your financial journey. Let me tell you about one feature that really stands out to me. Chime's Spot Me. We've all been there, right? Dealing with overdraft fees can really throw a wrench in your financial plans. But with Chime, you can overdraft up to $200 with no fees. You heard me right, no fees. It's like having a safety net for those unexpected moments. Y'all, I had a friend who was always getting hit with hefty overdraft fees. It was a mess trying to sort it out. How do you really get ahead with that? But with Chime, you can avoid those headaches and get back on track with ease. Plus, Chime isn't just a bank, it's a community. With Boost, you can increase your SpotMe limit by receiving boosts from your friends. It's like having your financial back covered by your squad. So, if you're ready to take control of your finances and wave goodbye to those pesky monthly fees, open your Chime account today. Just head over to chime.com/bravado. That's chime.com/bravado. Chime feels like progress. Banking services and debit card provided by the Bancorp Bank N.A. or Stride Bank N.A. Members FDIC. SpotMe eligibility requirements and overdraft limits apply. Boosts are available to eligible Chime members enrolled in SpotMe and are subject to monthly limits. Terms and conditions apply. Go to chime.com/disclosures for details.
Ladies, let's talk real talk here. You probably have days when the PMS has you feeling like you could eat anything in sight. My goodness, the cravings and the general discomfort. Well, say goodbye to those days with Hormone Harmony from Happy Mammoth. Let's dive into why Hormone Harmony is not just another supplement, but a true game changer. First off, it's not just a trend, it's a phenomenon. Social media is buzzing with women singing praises about Hormone Harmony. In fact, a bottle flies off the shelves every 24 seconds. Can y'all believe that? Now let's talk about Happy Mammoth, the brilliant minds behind this wonderful product. They're all about making your life easier, and that means no compromises on quality. They've meticulously crafted Hormone Harmony using only science-backed ingredients proven to work wonders for women like us. But here's my favorite part. Hormone Harmony contains adaptogens, nature's little miracle workers. These herbal extracts help your body adapt to life stressors, especially those pesky hormonal changes that can throw us off balance. And here's the kicker. Hormone Harmony isn't just for menopause. It's your secret weapon against those hormonal imbalances that can wreak havoc on your life. From hot flashes and night sweats to racing thoughts and low moods, Hormone Harmony has got your back. And yes, it even tackles the occasional bloat and that not tonight boo feeling. The real benefit here, the real win, feeling like yourself again. That's why countless women are raving about it in over 17,000 glowing reviews. We love a verified product, honey. Now here's your chance to experience the magic firsthand. For a limited time, you can get a fabulous 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code BRAVADO at checkout. So what are you waiting for, homegirl? Say hello to balanced hormones and goodbye to those days of feeling like a roller coaster. Your journey to hormone harmony starts now.
Well, you know, you know.
I know. I don't want to have to coerce anybody or feel like, do you see what I have?
Yeah, my worth, my value. So two things. When this fucking amazing love affair unfolded in 3 days, what the heck were you thinking? What were your friends, your family, the people who are around you thinking when you're like, actually, we had a Bridgerton dance in my dream?
This one is for my readers. Are you tired of endlessly searching for your next great read? Well, let me tell you about Book of the Month, where the thrill of discovery meets the joy of reading. Sounds fun, right? Okay, so what I adore about the Book of the Month is their meticulous curation process. With just a handful of carefully chosen titles each month, they've mastered the art of making your next read an easy decision. If you're tired of making decisions, let's make it easy. And let's not forget about the fun factor. Every aspect of their service is designed to celebrate the love of reading and make it even more enjoyable for members like us, down to the cute blue box the books are delivered in. Now let me tell you about the April pick. I've tapped into The Husband's a Novel by Holly Gramazio, and let me tell you, it's a pretty interesting read. It gets into the complexities of marriage and identity, and it's set against the backdrop of mystery and suspense. It has a pretty intriguing plot twist, and there's some character development that's pretty good too. So I think you might enjoy it. Pick it up if it interests you. And if you're ready to embark on your next literary journey, head over to bookofthemonth.com. And guess what? They're offering our listeners a special deal. You can use code PASTEL at checkout to get your first book for just $5 this month only. That's code PASTEL at bookofthemonth.com to get your first book for $5 with free shipping always. Come on, my readers. Don't miss out on the chance to discover your next favorite read with Book of the Month. Happy reading.
With Mother's Day around the corner, are you thinking about a truly special gift for your mom? Let me tell you about MyLifeInABook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Pretty cool, right? Here's how it works. Every week, MyLifeInABook.com will send her a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom question you wish to ask. And then she can either type her response or record her voice, and MyLifeInABook.com compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book. And guess what? They can even create an audiobook using her voice recordings. It's like preserving her voice and her stories for eternity. Imagine discovering stories about her youth, adventures, and the challenges she's overcame. This book becomes a legacy and something you and your future generations can treasure forever. Your mom's giving you a lifetime of stories. This is your chance to give her a way to share them. I'm so excited about MyLifeInABook.com because I'm planning on gifting my mom with this. She's always loved reflecting on memories and sharing her stories, and I know this will be the perfect gift to capture those moments for her. The thoughts of her flipping through the pages and reliving those cherished memories brings a smile to my face already. Check out MyLifeInABook.com and use code BRAVADO at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. That's MyLifeInABook.com. Use code BRAVADO for 10% off today. No, this is him. Hands are familiar. We are actually in love. What does that, how does that, like...
Yeah, was that your typical speed of things? Are you quickly like a dive-in type of person?
So like you also, if you're not a dive-in, you also had to release that part and be like, I'm really going with this thing.
Well, I feel very much so that the reason why it happened so fast like that and I'm so comfortable with it is because I had done so much spiritual work on myself at that point. So like everybody kind of already knows that I was on this journey. I have this podcast, you know, like I was doing all that kind of stuff. And so it wasn't unlike me to talk about like a weird dream that I had that come true, because that's been happening since I was a kid. Mm. And so when I was talking to my sister about it, you know, she was like, you had a dream about it. Okay. You know? And obviously happening. We're being very like cautious and like, you know, like even my brother-in-law, he was like, well, you know, let me see, you know, my mom was just elated from the beginning, 'cause she just trusts me and she likes a good love story anyway. And my dad, on the other hand, was not on board.
Yeah.
Like, not at all on board. Even when we announced that we were pregnant, I will never forget his very, it makes me upset, like how he responded, because he asked me if I was joking. So he was not on board, but you know, now he's on board. He really loves David, so it's great. But
welcome on board, Father.
Welcome. I've been here. Get in, sit down, don't touch nothing.
Yeah.
But you know, don't touch nothing.
Yeah. Just get in.
It was just, you know, honestly, it was this coming of all this healing gave me this perspective where I didn't need anybody else's input to know that it was right.
Mm.
And so when me and David came to that conclusion, it would just, like, when you start learning how to listen to your intuition,
mm-hmm.
like, there's nothing clearer. Mm-hmm. And so to dive in, for instance, he told me he loved me on day 10, and I told him I couldn't tell him that because I was like, Leo, this is way too fast and, you know, whatever. And I went into the bathroom and I cried. And I cried because all the things that he told me and how many times I've asked the universe, God, please make it easy. Mm-hmm. Make it so painfully clear that the person that I'm supposed to be with will be X, you know? And with everybody else, it was so clear that it wasn't them. You know, they made it very clear. Me and my mom and my sisters have this funny phrase where we say, wish them into the cornfield. If this is not the person, wish them into the cornfield. If you've ever seen Children of the Damned or one of those movies.
Mm.
So we would say that. So every time I would have this, like a situation where I was dating, that person would be outed so quick. And it was only because the marriage that I had, I pursued the hell out of that guy. And I mean, it made it easier for him. He was just like, cool. Like,
okay. Yeah.
You end up being this narcissist. Great for him. So all that to say, like, God, universe, whoever was really watching out for me because mm-hmm. they were like, nope, kick them out. And it had nothing to do with my worthiness. It was, what did I ask for? I asked for it to be easy.
Mm-hmm.
So when David did come and he was giving me all the things or whatever, I was so scared because I was like, I've never, ever seen it operate like this. Is this too good to be true? And my heart knew that it was right, but my ego was so scared of being hurt and being vulnerable again. So anyway, I went into the bathroom and I cried and I said, what does it take for me to listen to my intuition here and to be open, to be vulnerable? And I walked out of the bathroom and I looked to him and I knew this is someone I've known for lifetimes. Like, I believe in like past lives and stuff like that. I was like, I know this is, you came to me in a dream to tell me to wait for you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, shit. I fucking love you, dude.
Period. I was waiting on it. Please just fucking say it.
Germany.
So I told him and like, it just, you know, it was so, it felt so right. And like, I mean, like, we've been together now a year and some change. And like, this is my person.
Period.
Like, it's so wonderful to listen to those things. And obviously, like, it's not perfect. It's like, his birthday is a day after mine.
Oh, wow.
And like, we're both cancers. Like I never get sick of him. We always like we go on trips together and I'm like, you know, I don't get tired of being around him. Like, I used to get tired of my ex and be like, oh, I just need some space.
Oh my God.
I don't want any space. Like, I just want to hang out with him all the time. But that's how cancers are anyway.
Yeah.
But anyway, all that to say, like, we can do as much as we can in the manifestation side. We can do as much as we can on the healing side, but we also have to honor time
mm-hmm.
and honor that, like, when things are supposed to happen, they're going to happen. If we can live if I knew that I was going to meet the person that I was going to be with for the rest of my life, like, at this particular time, I wouldn't have been sweating it 2 years ago.
Yeah.
I'd be like, cool, let's party. Let's just hang out. Let's do what I need to do and have a good time.
And fuck everybody else. That's what I would have said.
Literally or
just no. Like,
figuratively, no. Fuck them all. Not literally getting in bed with
just
the motherfuckers.
Kidding, just
fuck
kidding.
Them. I would have been like, get the fuck out of here.
It would have been chill, you know? Like, and I think that that's what happened. When I had that moment and I had that dream, I was like, bet.
Right.
Like, I'm not looking for anybody to notice me. In fact, what happened was I went to, I was on my way from Bali to France. I had a job to shoot there. And I'm a photographer also. And so when I was on my way there, there were these two very attractive men. One was Greek and this other guy was like this black man from London, you know, British accent.
Oh, I love them type.
Gorgeous. Okay. Mm-hmm. And they're coming up to me and they're like, here's my number. And you're an angel. And I met you, blah,
period.
I saw you in another life and all this stuff. And I'm going, I've never in my life had anybody walk up to me that wasn't like, yo, baby, baby, and like, you know, the, like catcalling kind of thing. And they were like legit interested. So one of them took me on this incredible date at Cost, this like insane restaurant where celebrities go in Paris. And he's like, I think you could be the mother of my children. And I think blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
It was comical to me because I'd never heard anybody say that to me. I was like, really? But I had opened up that energy. Like mm-hmm. now there was space. Now there was openness. I've healed and let I'm now like, hear the signals. Can I let someone in? But I believe also it was kind of like the universe, not testing me, but being in a space of saying like, okay, do you want the hors d'oeuvre or do you want your dinner?
Dinner. You know? I'll take dinner. Dinner.
Holding on. One. No dinner, eating. Dinner. I'll be waiting. You know what? Were you about to say something?
Go ahead.
Because I'm just loving this conversation. This has just been
so expansive for me, like this conversation.
Oh, good. I'm glad. Same.
It's been so expansive.
Same. So I have a question, Aaliyah. We've been talking about manifesting the love that you have currently in the process of getting to this person, right? And doing the healing work. Did you ever sit down? What does that part actually look like? Were you writing him out? Although you've seen him, did you already do some like we be writing stuff down, like write it down, make it plain, shit.
Yeah. Yes.
You did?
So okay, yes. So here we go. So first of all, me and Sharon have this course called Manifest Them.
Yes.
So it's called manifestthem.com, the plug, mm-hmm. Where we talk about what it looks like to write, not to write, but to get somewhat specific about what it is that you want. And the reason why I say somewhat specific is because we tend to get very specific about details, but we don't know why. Mm-hmm. And so, for instance, when we sit down and write down what it is that we want out of a person, to get specific about details about what you want to feel with mm-hmm. that person, mm-hmm. but not necessarily to get super hung up on the details about what they are. Because for instance, I want a guy who makes six figures, and I want a guy who drives this car, and I want a guy who blah, blah, blah. Okay. Why do you want a guy who has six figures?
Stability.
To feel safe.
Right. Yeah.
Stability. Security. Right. I resolved within myself that I would be my own security.
Come on.
So that was never something that I asked for. Because I was like, I want to make my own money. Mm-hmm. I want to be the rich man.
Yeah.
But they're like, you have to ask yourself why you're asking for those things. I want a guy who's 6'6" or whatever. Why?
Makes you feel safe.
I want to feel small.
Right.
I want to feel safe. I want to feel, you know, whatever that is. Then sometimes you have to do a little further digging, because sometimes we're asking for those things out of our wombs. If I don't feel stable and I don't feel safe, it's because I don't feel like I have the capacity to make this for myself. If I don't feel good about my body, I want someone to have a very much larger body so I can feel better about myself, you know, things like that. And I remember like me being like, I loved basketball players, man. Like somebody who was over 6'5".
I definitely said that.
My dad is 6'4". My uncle's 6'6". I got an uncle who's almost 7 foot. Like we have tall people around our family. I'm 5'5". Okay. I guess it's an excess of height I don't need, you know, like it's unfair to people who are taller. They should have, you know, that. So I'm sitting here thinking about like that as, because I have issues with my own body, mm-hmm. having these requirements about what I perceive I want in someone so I can feel better about myself. Mm-hmm. And so you have to kind of audit those beliefs about what you're getting specific about. Now, when I rewrote my list, I said, okay, what do I want to feel?
Yeah.
I want to feel safe. What does safety mean for me? I want someone then who's loyal. I want someone who's dedicated. I want someone who's honest. I want someone who's authentic. I want someone who is playful. You know, like, mm-hmm. I want to feel happy. I want to laugh. I want someone who's funny. Like, David is hilarious.
Please
like,
laugh.
Hilarious. I think I cry laughing at least a couple times a week. Like,
love cry. A good laughter.
Like, legit cry. And it's someone who's easy to be around. Someone who's joyful. Someone who's positive. Someone who's, I'm a very, like, deep thinker. And I love, you know, philosophy and topics that are really complex. He's very cerebral and compliments me in that mm-hmm. way. And to me, that's so much more important than money or physique or clothes or something like that. Yes. And so those are ways in which, I mean, like I wanted someone who's a good dad. Like that's the first thing I saw in him. He's so good with his kids. And I knew that like, man, he might be a better dad than I am a mom. and that was super attractive, you know, like to yeah. me to know that I wouldn't be the only one. Yeah. She'd have both parents. So a good marker of this is that she reaches for both of us. Mm. And so like, you know how like when you see that, like, oh, come to mommy. Cause like daddy's like, I don't know what to do with the kid. You know, like none of that. Like in fact, he'll be like, here, give her to me. Here,
you know, yes.
So, take your child.
I sat down and wrote that down and I said, okay, this is what I want to feel like with the person. Like I want to feel these things, and making sure that the things I was asking for wasn't out of an insecurity of mine.
Yes, I love that.
I've definitely written down a list that said like, have money and you know, make money, and then when you get it, it's like you have money and you're spending money, but you're mad fucking annoying, like,
or you're disloyal, you're dishonest,
we're not having fun together, like, yeah. And really, like what you said, how someone makes you feel is very important, because that is the energy that you're operating in on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
when you're with someone, the way you feel is so important. Like, I was talking to Germany and I said, like, hanging out with her is easy. Mm-hmm. Like, when I'm hanging out with her, I'm excited to hang out with her. We have a good time. It doesn't feel like a burden, you know? And that's how you should be feeling in all of your relationships. So you're just hanging out. Sometimes, a lot of the times, we find ourselves hanging out with these men for companionship, and then we're feeling sick inside. Like, you don't feel mm-hmm. safe. You don't feel like you're having a good time. You just feel like there's someone filling a void.
Yeah. Right. You always got to tap in with your core desire feelings. I know that after I was in a long-term relationship, child, did a bid. It was long. After I got out, we started doing work around our core desired feelings and like what it is that we truly want to feel in a relationship, and not just stand with a person because of convenience or, you know, just being naturally loyal and just wanting to ride it out, the whole ride or die mentality. You know, it's like, what do I really want to feel? I want to be adored by my partner. You know, I want to feel safe and secure. I want stability. You know, there's just all the, I need it to be fun, and all these feelings that you want to feel deep down inside that really have nothing to do with physicality. And I think back to the list that I wrote out, right? Or my core desire feelings, what I wanted my partner to have, that was not superficial at all, but like, I want them to be like a good conversationalist. I want them to speak well of me when I'm around and when I'm not around. Mm-hmm. I want them to adore me, just all of these things. And it had nothing to do with how they looked, what money they made, you know, nothing, none of that. It was all about myself and what I wanted them to make, how I wanted them to make me feel. And my current partner has all of those things, and he's not my typical type. I don't even have a type, honestly. I'll be completely honest. All the niggas I dated look different. Okay. There's no type. There's yeah. no type. But same. If I had to point him out in a crowd before I knew he was going to be my person, I wouldn't have been like, that's him. I'm going to walk over and get him, yeah. you know, but he brought so much to my table, like to our table. And it's just such a dynamic relationship. And I know it's because my core desire feelings were clear, you know, and I had dated a crazy nigga in the past in between coming to get this one. And I'm like, okay, hold on. He had to be an expander.
That helps make it crystal clear.
That's what it was. He was an expander.
An expander.
Yes. I'm like, okay.
You recognize what you want, what you don't want from that person beforehand.
Exactly. And he showed me, because it was the relationship between the one that I'm in now and the 10-year relationship ending. It was that little kind of pivotal space of like, okay, what is it like to date?
Something new.
Yeah. Like, yeah, this is something I haven't been in the past. And he showed me a lot of love, a lot of adoration, a lot of attention, but it just wasn't what it was supposed to be, right? So it's like, I got a chance to feel like, wow, this is what a good relationship feels like. But on the back end, I'm like, this actually is some other stuff that I'm not interested in. So when my current person showed up, it was like, oh, he just showed me what was possible. Because at the time, I didn't even know it was possible. I'm like, yeah, what y'all be doing? What niggas be doing again?
Yeah.
I didn't know. I'm like, they be taking us out? Yeah. Oh, they be calling us? It's like, oh, okay, I get it now. I get it. Yeah. So, you know,
those people are huge expanders for you.
Yes.
Like, I feel very thankful to my exes in whatever capacity that they served, because they helped me find David. I want to, like, something you said sparked a story in me, where you talked about that they speak well of me when I'm not around.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was actually something I wrote down, because my previous partner, my previous husband, I'm a photographer. And so when I would go on jobs and shoot on jobs, and sometimes he would shoot with me, he was very jealous when people would speak really well of me, and like, have, you know, narcissists are like, well, I need to be the center of attention, yeah, or whatever. So one time I was at this wedding where this girl came up to him, and I was next to him when she said it, but she was like, oh my God, you're married to Aaliyah. Aaliyah's amazing. She's wonderful. Da, 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 da. And he was so irritated by that. And he said, you know, she's lucky to be married to me too. Now, I thought that what a weird response, you know, because I'm like, if someone came up to me, I'd be like, oh my God, yeah, right? Like, he's amazing. But, and it was this, it was always like that. I always paid for it when someone would speak really well of me and I had to diminish myself around him so he wouldn't be jealous. So when I went to a wedding to shoot with David, this woman comes up to him and it was almost an identical scenario. Mm. Like, she's like, oh my God, Ali is amazing. She's this, she's that, or whatever. And immediately my wound goes, you know, like, oh no, like it's gonna really bother him.
Right.
And she's talking about how amazing I am. And he goes, I know, right? I'm trying to be cool about it. And he's like, I'm just, yeah, you're totally right. Like, and I heard him say that and I could have cried on the spot.
Period.
Because it was such a dynamically different experience. And if I hadn't had what I didn't want, I wouldn't have known what to ask for.
Mm-hmm. That is so true.
Like, tears of joy.
I know, because sometimes when we are in these relationships that are meant to expand us, and they don't work out, it feels like I've wasted my time.
Yeah,
I've wasted my time. This didn't work out. And then again comes that scarcity mindset, the feeling of like we're running out of time, all of those things playing together, that we don't realize that this is an eye opener. This is helping you curate what you really want, what you don't want, like learn from it, move on. You pass the test. And now look. Now when someone presents themselves and they're not a fit, you can recognize them more quickly. Or if it's the opposite, they are a fit, you're like, wow. Mm-hmm. And that's the part that kind of, that's the part that kind of scares me, because I feel like I'm kind of, I can be a little skeptical. Like, I'm working on being more
optimistic.
No, not yeah, I guess so. But like more open, emotionally available, I guess you can say, and vulnerable, because that is a,
she wants to be taken care of. She does. She really does. She desires for her man to come in, take care of her, make her feel safe.
Yeah, period. Take care of her.
Yes. We're ready to take off the cloak of independence.
But what was I saying? I done forgot.
You're working on being more emotionally available.
I know, but
and
I forgot why
you.
I was saying that.
You're scared because what?
Oh, that's what I was saying. I'm a little nervous that when something amazing presents itself, I might be so skeptical, like, are you a wolf in sheep's clothing? Because sometimes that's how it starts off. Like, people put on this facade and you're like, and then they take off their costume and you're like, I knew you were in there.
Clown.
I knew you were, well, knew you were a clown.
Then. Ooh, let's talk about what?
Let's talk about intuition then. Because, you know, a lot of times we make those decisions out of scarcity because we're in fear.
Mm-hmm.
And we're afraid of being hurt. So it would be vulnerable to believe that someone could love us in a way that we actually wanted to be loved if we'd never seen that before. So there's a layer that we have to take off first, recognize that. I remember one time talking to my spirit guides and being in this space of feeling like every person that I like or every person that I'm da da da, they don't like me back or whatever. And the voice that's in my head saying, well, you know, if they liked you, you know, you don't really like people that are, you know, who like you back. You want the person you have to win over. And like, I was more attracted to people who are emotionally unavailable, because if I could win them over, then that meant I was worthy of love. So I was fighting my own battle with my father, actually, in a lot of these relationships that were trying to play out, that I was trying to earn their attention and earn their love, earn them saying, okay, you're worthy of space here. In order for me to feel like that I'm connected to them. So if there were to be someone like David who's generously giving me their love constantly, like he tells me, I love you, baby, like 100 times a day.
I love that type. Tell me.
He reassures me. Baby, you look cute. Baby, you look this beautiful, whatever. Even at the worst of myself, when I felt like, literally, the reason my haircut is like this is because I'm going through postpartum hair loss real bad, girl. Falling out, all kinds of stuff. Like, you know how precious edges are.
Yes.
And very much feeling like my body doesn't feel the same, all those things. If I had had someone who was like that beforehand, before I adjusted my palate, it would have been too sugary for me. And I would have been like, oh, this is not, this, I don't know, this tastes like cotton candy. It's gross. And so I wouldn't have wanted to be in a club that would have me as a member, because that was my own self-punishment. Me feeling like I deserve this or whatever on some subconscious level, even if, like you're saying, you want to be taken care of. Don't we all? But if we didn't feel like we deserved that care, then we would continue to try to attract people that would treat us as such. and then trying to win them over as a bid for us saying that we were worthy of what it is that they're trying to give us. Mm. If someone were to offer you that with no conditions, would you accept it? Mm. Or would you feel like this was too good to be true? There must be something wrong with you. There must be that you would actually like me. Like, then something must be really wrong with you, you know, because like, I'm worthy of all that. You must want something. You know what I mean? We don't say that out loud, but that's essentially what our subconscious is operating in, is this safe space of lack that we have to win it in order to feel deserving of what someone is giving to us. Otherwise, like, what would be the reason? Why would we deserve someone to be that kind to us? Yeah. Why would we deserve someone to be that loving to us? I know that, like, until I did that work for myself, you know, David came in and he's like, the text messages that are this long, responding super fast, and like, you know, no games, none of the stuff that I normally have to do. And I'm like, why am I trying to resist this?
Mm. Yeah,
like all of the behaviors and all the shit I went through and all the trauma and all the games, and then this person who's giving everything I've asked for, I said, you know what, even if this is too good to be true, I've given people who haven't given me half of this more attention.
Yeah,
so give it.
So here we go, let me just open up, because if it is too good to be true, let me learn my lesson.
Yeah.
It didn't mean that I wasn't worthy, but let me just soak this in. This is nice.
Yeah.
And at that point, like, because I didn't have anything to lose and because I wasn't in a place where I had any expectations, because I said, you know what, at the end of the day, if this isn't the person, let me enjoy myself being loved.
Period.
You know, does that mean that there's something, like, if it's not the one, like, why does that end up being the marker for someone treating you well for a little while?
Right.
Mm-hmm. I'm not saying take advantage of someone if you're not interested in them. What I'm saying is that we have this kind of idea that it's like this socially ingrained mentality that limits us from being able to experience love in all its many facets.
Yeah.
Love can come through friendship. We talked about your friendship with Germany, you know, like that's an expansive friendship. We don't put enough emphasis on our girlfriend relationships and how important those are.
Girl.
I had the girl gang ever when I lived in Bali for a few months. And it was so enriching. I was like, I don't need no fucking man. Yeah. Not in the, like, the heated place. But I was like, I'm having so much fun with my girls. Like, yeah. there was no feeling like there was anything missing, because I had such an enriching experience with those people. So being able to experience, if someone is coming to you and you're attracted to them and you're open to it, I'm not saying, like, you know, go with some dude that you're, like, not into. But if that's the case and you have this be open. Let yourself be open to it, because even if it's not the person that's the one, they can be a stepping stone towards it. Mm-hmm. You get to curate, like you said earlier, deeper, further what it is. The next thing I want to confront is time. So our fears around, like, whether or not they're the one, and that kind of ingrained thing comes from the time issue.
Yeah.
So if we're afraid that it's the time issue, if it's not the one, we spent 4 months with this person, finds out it's not the one. Oh my God, I wasted my time. No, like, you learn more about yourself. You had a great ass time for at least 3 months of it.
Right.
And you learned something about yourself. Right. But I think a lot of us, those of us who do want families, not everybody wants families, and that's okay. But those of us who have these timelines of when we thought we would get married or when we thought we'd have this or whatever, if we open ourselves up from that. Now, I think that the family component is an important one. And we do mention this, especially for those who identify as women or those who have children or those who menstruate, whatever, all open all those doors. For people who want families and feel that time, like that body clock ticking, I'll say this, you know, whether or not you're supposed to create a life from a loving relationship is a very interesting concept of the way we think of our humanity. Mm-hmm. And for a lot of people, we think of it as a right, you know, it's a right to have a child or whatever. I have recently adopted the idea that when a soul wants to come in, a soul's going to come in. And when a soul decides they want two people and parents or whatever, you know, like I have some friends who've, you know, made children with people that they were with for a day, you know, or like with, you know, for a marriage that didn't work out or whatever, that soul was supposed to come in during that time. That's my belief.
Yeah.
And so, you know, whatever capacity that looks like, I have friends who struggle with infertility for years and years and years and years. And finally, when they got to a space where they were like, okay, we're not going to have any kids, either they ended up having a life that they actually really wanted without the pressure of all those things, or they gave up the expectation and then boom, there it happened.
Like, the soul came in. The soul wiggled right up in.
But we sometimes allow society as this, you know, the mother ideal or whatever to dictate our youth, our worthiness, our ability to have value, if we can have children or not.
Mm-hmm.
And that is not our only purpose to serve. Just because we have a uterus doesn't mean we need to use it.
And that's so on period.
If that is something that's your fear, like, I'm afraid I'm not going to have a family, I'm afraid I'm not going to have kids, I understand that and I validate that. I know that's a hard one to reconcile. If it gives you any hope, I'm 37. I just had my first child, my first and only. And my doctors have told me most of my life I wouldn't be able to have kids.
Wow.
So I have fibroids, endometriosis, PCOS, the whole bit, the whole gamut. I almost died on the table when I had the baby. it was a very traumatic experience. But she was here. And she came in, and she came in quick. And she was meant to be here because she chose us as parents. And everything happened super fast. So you just don't know how fast things can change.
Yeah. Right?
You just don't know what's ahead of you or what's meant for you. And if you can allow yourself to stop living your life based on scarcity and fear, you can just live your damn life.
And that's what, that's it.
Time, because I love my baby. She's 5 months old. She's amazing. And the way that she came into the world, I'll tell you that story later if we have time, was so amazing. But I remember after getting pregnant and us, like, you know, having this like home life and getting our home together or whatever, being like, oh man, I can't just up and travel when I feel like it now.
Right.
Oh man, I can't up and do this anymore. Oh man, once I'm responsible for this, like, this is the deal. Like, this is life forever.
Can't get rid of it.
Nope. And don't want to, but like, it's an adjustment. It's a huge change. And so recognizing that and honoring that by being able to be present with my life currently and not letting my fears of the future take away from the wonderful, like, life I could be creating now.
Yes. That's important.
We've been talking about that.
We have. Just being present, living in the moment, like understanding that time is really not a thing, you know, that we just have to live here, embrace what's going on, express gratitude and reverence for these times, because we get so wrapped up living in the present, thinking living about the not living in the present, child, be here.
Yeah.
We be living in the future.
Yeah.
We be living in the future that we totally, like, say fuck this experience. We totally negate the current experience, and really the current experience is what we prayed, what we manifested, what we wished, what we hoped we would be. You know, it just robs us of our joy.
It does.
How many times have you looked back in your life and been like, man, I prayed for this?
Yeah.
Like, I prayed for where I am right now.
Yeah. We pray to be sitting on this floor.
We take it for granted.
And we don't do it enough. We don't do it enough, honestly. Because every day it's like, okay, we're going to do this. We're going to do this. This is what we need to be working towards. Instead of being like, wow, I think there's space for it all, right? There's space to dream and manifest and think about what is coming towards you. And there's also space to be like, this is amazing right here. Like, we worked so hard to get here, and enjoy this current moment.
And even if it's an example. Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry.
I was just going to say quickly, even if it's a moment that's not moment that's not necessarily enjoyable, like the present, it's like, this will pass. Mm-hmm. I'm here now for a reason, and just accepting it.
Yeah.
But what were you
going to say? That's a really hard thing to do.
So hard.
I was going to say, if you ever remember that you at any point looked back and said, I prayed for this, then recognize that at some point in your future, the thing that you prayed for will come. So there's hope for that. Like, if you recognize that at any moment in your present life that you said, I prayed for this 5 years ago, 2 years ago, 4 weeks ago, then at some point in your future, the thing that you're praying for now will come.
That was a word.
That needs to be put up on underneath this sign.
Put it under yours, okay? Instead of with lovely Aaliyah, put that at some point, if you ever prayed about it and it came, then you gonna get it in the future. Put it there. Put it there, okay? Smaller font. Damn.
Please write it out so I can put it on my Instagram.
Please.
I was like quoting myself.
Oh, yeah. Oh no. We lost your vid.
It's still there.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Yes. Oh my God. That was so good.
That was.
Ooh, that was really rocking my brain.
Aaliyah, you really have, I'm sure, expanded the minds of our listeners and us, Germany and I, because your story that you shared, the tools that you shared. Can you let our listeners know more about your Manifest Them course? Because that's a gem that we don't want them to miss.
Please.
Well, it is called manifestthem.com.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a coursework, a self-study coursework that you can take at any time. that I believe is amazing. Me and Shirin Eskandani developed it together, and we talked about so many different ways of manifesting that also include people of color's experience. Because mm-hmm. I think sometimes when we think about manifestation, there are added layers that we have to go through as far as being able to think about what we can access mm-hmm. versus based on our environment, what it is that we see happening versus what it is that we don't. So I think that's a very important part of it. And we worked really hard to make it super inclusive. She covers very much the mindset aspect of things. I cover very much the energy aspect of things. And we talk very much about, at least I do, I talk about energy like it's like my job. But when we think about, like I said earlier, when you sit down on a date and you know when someone wants to have sex with you and like how you feel about that, energy is so, so much a part of the way we attract people and the way we have polarity with someone and attraction mm-hmm. and magnetism. And so if we're not aware of our polarities and we're not aware of the way in which we are able to operate through those like magnets, then we're not using maybe our most powerful aspect of attraction. Mm. And so it's a really, really interesting thing. I noticed like for myself, I'm a very masculine woman. And I say that not in a like manly woman. I say masculine in the outward directed energy sense. Mm. Very much like go A to B efficiency, like think New Yorker, right? outward directed energy would be New York. Inward directed energy would be Paris. Okay. So you instantly kind of get an idea yeah. of how the cities go.
She's New Yorker.
I'm New York. I need to get to Paris.
You're New York. I'm very Paris. Very Parisian. Darling. Got a little hat on.
When we're energetically in that like super efficiency mode, we don't allow to you know, take pictures along the way and enjoy our journey process. And while we're in that space, it's very important, as I think, if we're trying to attract the opposite energy, to be able to polarize and magnetize each other. We talk a lot about that, how to do that.
Beautiful.
Let me take my phone out and start taking some pictures of the scenery.
Stop it. This one. Aaliyah, you know, I personally want to say, like Brittany said, thank you so much for expanding our awareness and for sharing your love story and living it out loud. It just gives people hope, right? We love to hear a love story. And the more we share these stories that seem so unconventional and uncanny, it's like it makes it possible. It brings the impossible possible. It makes it seem very tangible. So we love hearing stories about love and healthy love and just understanding that it's out there, it's attainable, it's for us all. We all deserve it. Yes. A healthy, loving relationship is our birthright. And I'm just so grateful to have this conversation with you today.
Same.
It's amazing.
Thank you so much.
Yes.
Thank you.
If I can quickly tell yes. you the story about my daughter.
Yes.
The space Please is do. Yours.
I want to offer this. This is the reason why I want to offer this is because for people who are having that timeline restriction, this was very powerful for me, and it felt like a kind of a miracle.
Give it to us.
I was told I could never have kids, so I never let myself think or hope about it, and I knew that the later in life that I got, the harder it would be for me to have it. When I met David, I had known that I had this past life with him in Egypt. Okay. Mm. Now some people don't believe in past lives, and that's fine. But I had this very specific life where I knew that me and him had been in Cairo together. Okay. Mm. So when we had our first scare, quote unquote, 3 weeks into our relationship, when we found out I wasn't pregnant, I was a little bit disappointed. It was the first time I'd ever even tried or even like had anything like that happen. And so he says, well, you know, what would you name it? Like, well, have you ever thought about baby names? And I was like, no, I never let myself think about it because I thought I just don't want to be that person that gets so caught up in not being able to have kids and make myself miserable. And so anyway, he's like, I would love to name my child Cairo. And that for me was like a weird like ding, 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 ding. So I ended up having to tell him this story, you know, like I don't want to let out all my crazy yet. But so that was very meaningful for me. So a few weeks later, we were talking about one of my friends who was having a lot of infertility issues and stuff. And he was like, well, I know that you have problems with this and this. Do you think we should try? We were 6 weeks in our relationship. We just knew like this is the deal. This is us. Like we're going to be together. And I said, you know, I don't know. I guess I'm just looking for a sign. And within that 30 seconds, I was scrolling on Instagram already and I came across Tia Mowry's profile. Mm. You know, Tia Mowry, sister.
Yeah, of course.
And we so know them. We
sister
know
Tamara.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I clicked on her profile, randomly scrolled through something, don't know why, clicked on a picture. And in the picture, it's her and her son and her husband. And underneath it, she was like, TBT to our 5-year anniversary renewal. We like to renew our vows every 5 years. But our 10th year anniversary, we didn't because I was way pregnant with Cairo.
Yeah. Yeah. Her son's name is Cairo.
I had no idea. Like, had no cross with any of that. Okay. So I was like, oh my God. And he said, that's a sign. You got to listen to that. You got to know that. And you're whatever. And I said, okay, before we get all into this, I just met you. I said, I just don't want to get my hopes up. I said, if it's meant to be, we'll get pregnant and we'll try one time. And if we get pregnant, like, we'll know that it was meant to happen. If we don't, I don't want to hear about it for a year. Mm-hmm. Like, I just don't want to even like set myself up for that, you know, disappointment. And we got pregnant.
Wow.
My doctors looked at it and they're like, okay, you got this fibroid. One fibroid was as big as her head.
Ooh.
There was all kinds of issues and complications with the pregnancy. I had a very high rate of Down syndrome and high rates of this. And I had preeclampsia. I had gestational diabetes. I had all the stuff. And I even had this birth that was like crazy traumatic. I had postpartum hemorrhage on the table, C-section, the whole bit. Oh, she came out perfect.
Girl.
Nothing wrong. Nothing. Like, just absolutely perfect. The best little nugget ever.
Uh-huh.
And obviously I've healed and I've gone through some stuff with that too. Shit. But it was like, if you were talking to someone who didn't think they were going to get married, didn't think they were going to have kids, didn't think that they were ever going to have a home, be able to buy a house. We didn't even touch that. Like, I bought my house.
Wow.
Like, had all this other stuff happen within a year span of time.
Oof.
You have no idea how fast things can change.
Yes.
Okay.
When you open yourself up to that healing and that vulnerability and love and open what you can have, like, to be hopeful is to be vulnerable.
Mm.
And if you allow yourself to access that energy, you have no idea how fast things can change and the miracles that can happen.
That's what I believe in. Miracles.
Wow.
We believe in miracles.
We have to open our spiritual shit, thelovelyaliah.com.
Yes. Oh, tell them one more time, because I was praising over that.
You can go to my podcast called Spiritual Shit. It's on all major platforms. And then you can find me at thelovelyaliah.com. You can hang out with me on patreon.com/thelovelyaliah to be a part of our workshops and hang out with me. Or we can go to Instagram at thelovelyaliah.
Beautiful.
Aaliyah.
Girl.
Oh, gosh. Again, thank you so, 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 so much for being here with us. We love this conversation. We love the work that you're doing. Yes. And we just appreciate you.
Yes, girl. Oh, Lord. Child was good.